Okay, good evening everyone. Welcome to this meeting, 26th of Cabinet. Could I just remind members that with this being a public meeting, to please use your microphones when you speak. Can I first of all start by welcoming a new member of the council? This is Penny James, easy name to remember, who's the principal solicitor to the council and also deputy monitoring officer. This is actually also one of the first cabinet meetings she's ever been to. So welcome Penny. First item is to receive any apologies. I'm aware that Councillor Sheila McKiernan has sent her apologies. Apart from that, everyone else is here. Item two. I've just given her apologies. Thank you anyway, Rob. Item two, any declarations of interest? Don't see any. Thank you. Item three, for those that were in attendance, is to approve as a correct record the public minutes of the meeting held on the 12th of February. So those present, I'll move that, seconded. Councillor Walker, all those in favour? Any abstentions? Thank you, Councillor Chowdhury. Thank you. I'm not aware of any urgent business. That's right, thank you. Item five, can I ask the Chief Executive to introduce the forward plan?
Thank you, Leader. This is the forward plan for the period from the 1st of April this year right the way through to the 31st of July. Happy to take any questions on the forward plan.
Any questions? So before you. Can I suggest that we approve the forward plan? Is that agreed? Thank you. Item six is the update on the introduction of a citizens' assembly. I hand over to James, please. James Abbott.
Thanks, Leader. So, as we know, the corporate plan contains a target to introduce a citizens' assembly. So that's essentially the purpose of this report. It is worth just clarifying at the outset, really, that in terms of the wording of the report, when we started to look at delivering this corporate target, it was subsequently confirmed that the intention, really, in the manifesto was more aligned to the principle of a citizens' jury rather than an assembly. So this report is presenting a proposed model on that basis, following some research and discussions that we've been able to do with other local authorities that have taken this approach successfully elsewhere. But just really just to summarise the key points, a citizens' jury is what you might define as an inclusive deliberative body, which is formed of local members of the public who are then tasked with developing recommendations on tough or complex policy decisions, policy questions. So it suggested that the jury would consist of 20 to 25 individuals who would meet over the course of maybe one or two weekends, depending on the scope and complexity of the policy area that's being looked into. And those sessions would be led by an independent facilitator that council would need to procure. But from the research we've done, that independence is one of the really key points. That independence is vital. And as I say, these sessions will be delivered and promoted by a lead independent facilitator, as well as it being advised that the event would be held in a neutral venue, or a venue that's got a level of importance in relation to the topic area being discussed. And the intention is that the jurors would be incentivised as well to participate throughout that process, for example, through an agreed stipend. And that incentive will be structured in such a way that it encourages full participation and a return to the subsequent sessions if that was to be done over multiple weekends. Policy experts would be invited to provide a talk or a presentation to jurors, and jurors can then ask questions, deliberate, and then formulate some recommendations. And the jury would then present those final findings to the Cabinet, who would then respond to those recommendations accordingly. So some estimated costing set out in the report. These are, of course, subject to member approval of the specific process. So, for example, the stipend values and the jury size, which will be dependent on the scope and complexity, as I say, of the topic being looked at. And, of course, will be subject to procurement. And the final point really to emphasise is that for a jury process to be a success, you'd need an appropriate question that you want to actually be addressed through this process. As I've mentioned, the jury approach will be particularly useful where there is a particularly tough or complex policy question which can't really be unpicked using the other more traditional consultation methods. And as you know, for the corporate plan in the year ahead, looking at the year ahead, there's a target there to have that consideration about whether there is a suitable topic that might benefit from the attention of the jury model. So the recommendation there for Cabinet to consider is just to note that, well, to consider the contents of the report. I'm of course happy to take any questions for you, Leader.
Thank you, James. Any questions? Members happy to approve the report? I'll move that we approve the report. Seconded. All those in favour? Thank you for that. Thank you, James. Move on to the next one, is the options to create a community wealth building energy model for East Staffordshire Borough Council. Rachel, please.
Thank you. In alignment with the Staffordshire Borough Council's corporate priority around community wealth building and energy, we have produced a report exploring pathways to develop sustainable, localised energy projects that benefit residents and mitigate climate change. The report suggests that the Council can take advantage of its assets, regeneration sites and cross-sector relationships to implement different solutions. These range from tried and tested solar PV to exploring new technologies such as virtual power plants. As well as opportunities, the complexity of the energy industry means it is not without risks. Cautionary cases such as Nottingham City Council's Robin Hood Energy show that careful project selection and risk mitigation are necessary. With this in mind, building our capabilities gradually through pilots and partnerships enables methodical growth and can greatly reduce risk. The report identifies four options for the Council to consider taking forward to capitalise on the opportunities available, and having considered the options against the Council's assets and financial considerations, recommends taking forward option one, solar community energy project, as the most beneficial to the Council and its residents.
Thank you, Rachel. Any questions? Dennis, are you indicating? Comment, yeah, go ahead.
I have nothing more to say, really. Not a lot more to say than I said at the pre-cabinet meeting. It's a very good report. It points out all the possibilities, also points out the risks, and suggests the first step, which is easily doable, very acceptable, and also buys us time for doing more complex things. So I support that recommendation.
Okay, thank you. I'll second that recommendation on that option. Is that any other questions, comments? All in favour of that? Yeah. Thank you all. Yeah.
Air pollution is associated with a number of adverse health impacts and is the largest environmental risk to public health in the UK, accounting for up to an estimated 38,000 deaths per year. Local authorities have a statutory duty to periodically review and assess their area to determine exceedances in air quality objectives. This is monitored using a network of diffusion tubes and an automatic monitoring station which is located at Derby Turn. Where an exceedance is likely, the local authority must declare an air quality management area and provide an air quality action plan to address the identified areas of poor air quality in the borough. East Staffordshire Borough Council declared two air quality management areas in 2007 and adopted an air quality action plan in 2009. This was later revised in 2015, at which time an air quality strategy was also adopted. Whilst air quality has improved across all monitoring locations since declaring the air quality management areas, some breaches of the objectives are still being recorded in the larger air quality management area. The air quality strategy and air quality action plan have therefore been revised to identify further measures to be implemented over the next 5 years. Subject to approval, the revised air quality action plan will be subject to a 6-week statutory consultation with feedback recorded within the air quality action plan in accordance with DEFRA guidance. due to improvements in air quality within the smaller St Peter's Roundabout air quality management area. It is also recommended that this air quality management area be revoked.
Thank you, Rachel. Any questions or comments from Cabinet members?
Yeah, again, another good report. Great that the air quality has improved, so we can revoke one of the monitoring gaps. That doesn't mean to say we're stopping monitoring. Sorry, I've said it, I'm going to say it again.
Please, yeah.
A very good report. I've forgotten what I've said now, but basically it's good that the air quality has improved so we can revoke one of the areas where we heavily monitor what's going on. That doesn't mean to say we're stopping monitoring, we are carrying on monitoring throughout the borough. So, good report, recommendations, good, yeah.
Any other comments? If Dennis turns his off, then Simon, you can put yours on.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I think just to echo those comments, it's good that we can revoke those areas. I think as more vehicles move to electric, obviously that hopefully means that will reduce air quality. And it's also important to remember as well, even the sort of traditionally powered cars with Euro 6 and petrol cars tend to have much smaller engines than they used to have. That should also help with the air quality. So overall, I think that this is good news.
Thank you, Councillor Slater. I'm happy to move those recommendations at 13. Can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Fletcher, all those in favour? Thank you, colleagues, that's unanimous. Item 9, which is the update on the playing pitch strategy and review of indoor facilities. I believe you've drawn the straw, James, please.
Yeah, thanks again, Leader. So we've previously commissioned a consultant, Knight, Caverin and Page, or KKP, to review the playing pitch strategy and the indoor facility strategy. And this helps us to get a clear picture of the supply and demand for playing pitches and outdoor facilities within East Staffordshire across the range of sports, as well as providing a facility breakdown of current indoor sports facilities within the borough, whilst also considering the demand for facilities based on population distribution and planned growth. As you'll see from the documents provided, there's been an in-depth assessment undertaken by KKP that's analysing condition, location, availability and overall quality of the facilities. And the work does have input from the relevant national governing bodies for sport as well throughout that process. So the KKP reports indicate that across the majority of sports, there's currently a sufficient supply of indoor and outdoor facilities to accommodate demand, although there is a need for additional 3G and good quality grass football pitches. And we do, of course, need to be mindful of the protection and improvement of our existing supplies as well. And as you'd expect, the population, as the population of the borough increases, that of course has the potential to affect that capacity to cope with demand. So building these documents into planning is of course essential as well. Which leads me really to the recommendations, which are firstly to update the open spaces and playing pitches supplementary planning document and the planning obligations, SPD, as necessary. And secondly, to use the reports at Appendix 1A, 1B, 2A and 2B to inform the annual review of the local plan and also to forward that on at the appropriate time to the Development Plan Committee as well. And going forward, this then will ensure that our existing supply of indoor and outdoor provision is protected, whilst also ensuring the ongoing provision of facilities in the future, for the benefit of the communities from a health and wellbeing perspective. But again, happy to take any questions, Leader.
Thank you, James. Quite a detailed report. Any comments or questions? No? I'm happy to move those recommendations at 14. Can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Walker, Paul Walker. All those in favour, please show. That's everyone. Thank you. Thank you, James. And I'm moving on now to item 10, quarter 3, revenue and capital outturn report. Can I ask the Chief Finance Officer to present, please?
Thank you, Leader. So the report presents an overview of the financial position as at quarter three of the current financial year, providing an update on revenue and capital budgets, treasury management, and a summary of key corporate and strategic risks of the authority. Overall, at quarter three, a £421,000 underspend is forecast on the revenue budget. The positive overall performance is driven by one-off increases in investment income due to the Bank of England base rate increases. However, it should be noted this additional investment income has disguised some of the spending pressures we've seen within individual services. The overall underspend has reduced by £258,000 compared to quarter two, and that's mainly due to an increase in the forecast income shortfall within planning and development services. The report also notes that the forecast is still subject to uncertainty and volatility, with the main risks to the forecast summarised at paragraph 2.6 of the report. Section 4 also provides a full breakdown of the revenue forecast by portfolio, with a high-level narrative in relation to significant variances, and as usual, there is a full breakdown of variances attached to Appendix A. Section 5 of the report provides the update on treasury management activities and shows investments totaled £62.4 million at the end of quarter three, and average investment returns for the year to date were 4.89%. We are currently estimating investment income for the year will exceed the original budget by £889,000, and a full breakdown of the details of the investments held at the end of December is shown in Appendix B. With regard to capital, that's covered in Section 6 of the report, and it sets out the forecast outturn position for both the mainstream capital programme and the Towns Fund programme. The mainstream capital programme currently forecasts a variance of £8.249 million, with the majority of that, £8.224 million, proposed to be carried forward into the following financial year, with a small underspend of £25,000 shown on the capital programme overall. Finally, Section 8 of the report covers risk, and Appendix C provides a schedule of the most significant corporate and strategic risks facing the authority, together with the measures taken to manage those. There have been no changes identified to the current risk levels for this quarter. I'll leave it there for questions.
Thank you, Lloyd. Any questions on quarter three outturn? Any comments? No? Okay, well, I'm happy to move those recommendations at 13. Can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Chowdhury. All those in favour? Thank you for that, Cabinet members. Last item of the public part of the meeting, item 11 is the quarter three performance report. James, please.
Thanks again, Leader. So this is the quarter three performance report looking at the Council's progress towards achieving its corporate plan priorities up to the end of December, along with the latest updates on the leisure contract and the Towns Fund programme as well. But if we can just focus initially on the corporate plan, each target has been graded using the usual traffic light style system of ratings depending on the progress of each individual indicator. And if we look at the 126 live targets, this equates to the council being at 93.65% green overall. It's just 2.38% amber and then just 3.97% red. So as you can see, the numbers suggest that the council's corporate performance continues to be very positive. And just to provide a bit of further breakdown on those high-level figures, the tables that you can see on pages 6 and 7 of the main report, they just show a bit of further analysis, including how those percentages break down across the corporate priorities as well as across the individual cabinet portfolios. And then the small number of red numbers that I've mentioned, they're detailed in the tables you can see on pages 8 and 9, and that just provides a little bit of narrative, some further context around the situation with each of those indicators. It's also worth saying that Appendix 1 does include comprehensive data on all the indicators in the corporate plan. But as I mentioned a moment ago, overall the numbers suggest that the council continues to be in a very good position as it has done with previous quarters and previous years. The report also goes on to provide information on the performance of the leisure operating contract, which you can see in Section 6. It's flagging no major issues there with just the, you know, the one amber. And again, it looks very positive. And also the Towns Fund programme, that's detailed in Section 7, which shows that the three partner projects are currently identified as being on track, with the college project now being fully completed. And there is further detail on leisure and Towns Fund performance contained in the two appendices that we'll see later on in the agenda this evening as well. So that's a high-level summary of the report as a whole. As I hope you can see from the information provided, generally speaking, we're in a very good position across all three strands that are covered in that report.
Thank you, James. Recommendation, and this is to consider the report. Are there any questions or comments from members? No? So can I move that we note this report? Is that seconded? Councillor Fletcher, all those in favour? That's approved. Thank you for that. Thank you, James. So that concludes the public part of our meeting. So can I thank the press for attending, and I will, from the chair, move that in accordance with section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, that move that the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting, as it is likely, in view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in paragraph 1A of Schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before the item number on the agenda. Could I have a seconder for that, please? All those in favour? Thank you. We're now in the private part of the meeting.